it's such a bummer how you chase that girl around.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
We opened the whole thing up with Hey Mario by Patent Pending. Dustin, welcome back. It's another Wednesday. Mm-hmm. This is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on everybody that is listening and anyone that wants to listen online. You'll have to wait like a year until we get around to kind of going through that backlog. But we do a website. Website's exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. We're going to be posting a couple things, though, because summer is getting really close.
Yes, it's only a few weeks away now.
It's only someone lied to me. Sorry. That'll happen in life. That'll happen. But someone lied to me, and they said that next week is what's called dead week. And there's no classes next week.
No, that's not true at
all. And then there's finals week.
That's not true.
Okay. Well, it was the Chick-fil-A girl, but because she was like, I'm really excited about getting off in 2 weeks. I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. You know, there was, and I should consider my source. She's not a student.
Right.
But I totally was like, cool. And then I echoed that to my students, and my students didn't correct me. So I'm kind of like, I know now.
Can you fix this?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't going to cancel class. I thought it was already canceled now. I just have more review time for the final, but.
Yeah, we've already, like, we got stuff scheduled for next week.
Oh, I'm going to, yeah, no, I might, I don't know. Can I give a final early? I might give a final early.
You can't.
Can I not?
You know they're scheduled at certain times.
Yeah, but what if I just say, yeah, we're moving the final this time?
No, they won't let you do that because they're student athletes that are still doing stuff the weeks before school.
What if I don't have any athletes, though?
They don't care.
This is less about what. Why? Someone lied to me. That's
this
all
show
I wanted
turned
to
into me explaining school policy. This
sorry,
is not
sorry.
What people tuned in for, Matt.
Correct. What did they tune in for, Dustin? How you been doing?
I don't know.
You don't know how you've been doing?
I had a allergic reaction last night.
Oh,
to
wow.
Something. Yeah. So I took a Benadryl.
Okay.
I haven't taken a Benadryl in a long time, so I'm very groggy.
Okay. You don't look groggy. You look like you always look.
Yeah, I know. I finally got a little bit of rest because Benadryl
knocked
me out.
Very well.
Thank you so much. And I'm not even wearing a suit.
No, you aren't.
But I bought this 3-piece suit and I still had new shoes for it and all this stuff. I have not.
Were those
been
the shoes you showed
it.
Me?
Yeah.
Those shoes are nice. They're very like bronzy. Yeah. Like they got like a bronze sheen to them.
Oh, yeah. Free advice, by the way. If you're going to get a suit, navy blue is a good way to go because it's good day wear and it can be good evening wear with a darker darker button up. Oh,
yes.
God. No, not my phone.
Oh,
geez.
It ruins the show.
The illusion's broken.
We are going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what we did last week, as well as intro to some of the news statements, or the news segments, rather.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about Broken Bride, Part 1 by Ludo, and The Hardware Store by Weird Al Yankovic. Is it Yankovic? Yankovic?
Yankovic.
Yankovic. Yankovic.
I've always had Yankovic.
Yankovic.
Yeah.
We're going to get you back after all of that. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
I refuse to answer. 90.9 KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG. For years.
Until science can change this, I am Dustin.
Oh, that's just a form. You just fill out a form. You can be a different
person.
Like
a shake shedding its skin. I was watching too much Altered. You start watching Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon, you're right.
It's hard to get out.
You have a palsy over here all of a sudden.
I don't know who I turned into. I turned into a Kennedy trying to say, I want to watch Altered Carbon.
Oh, man. You just heard The Hardware Store by Weird Al Yankovic. Before that, Broken Bride, Part 1 by Ludo. This is the segment of the show where, I guess, historically we talk about what we did, though. I mean, that's really the whole show. What have we done? Dustin, what have you done?
Done two things. One, I promised people that I was going to do a review of Devil May Cry,
the HD collection.
I did not do that.
That's okay.
Forgot to do that in the last show. Real quick, I'm going to burn through that real quick. Good. It's
done.
Good.
Print it.
It's the games. They're slightly better texture, but the graphics aren't hugely overhauled or anything like that.
Well, it's not like they redid the models either. I mean, it's mainly just increased resolution and better textures.
And a frame rate.
Okay.
Frame rate as well. Devil May Cry 3 works this time. Which is nice to see.
That's good.
It's a special edition version of the game as well. Dante's Awakening special edition version. So you will play as Virgil after your first run through, which is a lot of fun. And it's just a really good port of the three Devil May Cry games. Didn't really touch two that much.
Yeah.
Two's just eating up memory there. But one and three is what you're after. And for the price, it's good for that.
Awesome.
I enjoyed it. It plays well. And it's smooth. The other thing I did was I was never a big fan of God of War. Having played all of them.
Right. These are the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2.
Right, except for I played 1, 2, and 3. I didn't play Ascension or the other ones because it wasn't
Olympus
worth going out.
Chains or something.
Right. It wasn't worth going out of my way to do those. I didn't feel like it. But I played the first two because I had them on PS2.
Okay.
I got them cheap. And then I played the third one on PS3 because it was a great spectacle of a game. But I was never a huge fan of like, oh my gosh, these games are amazing kind of person.
Right.
But God of War, this one is...
Like the 2018 edition.
The 2018 God of War came out this Friday.
Right.
It is phenomenal how good it is.
Have you played... Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh yeah, I beat that.
Okay, can you liken it to that quality of a game?
It's yes, easily.
Okay, because that's where I'm at. I liked Horizon Zero Dawn, or I currently like that game, and I am similar positioned in that I've played the main God of War entries, and I really take him or leave him. I liked it, but it seemed button mashy, and the story was like, whatever. But I really like Horizon Zero Dawn, and it seems like every time I watch clips of God of War 2018, mm-hmm. I get that Horizon Zero Dawn feeling.
Yes.
So,
Horizon Zero Dawn plays a little bit looser. Horizon Zero Dawn is a lot more open world.
Okay.
God of War is not as open world. There's big areas where there's a ton to explore. And there's like these little sections you can go out of your way to do these side quests and stuff and everything like that. But it's not an open world game.
Okay.
But that's fine because I never felt constrained by anything.
That's good because I don't dislike linear games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like games or I dislike linear games where it seems like I am just in a hallway and I am designed to shoot. And it's not like a Gears of War or like a kill zone. Like Gears of War and Killzone, it's very much the, hey, here's a hallway to a big open arena where you kill a bunch of bad guys, to another hallway where you kill a bunch of bad guys, to a big open area where you kill a bunch of bad guys, and eventually there's a vehicle.
That's why I was never a big fan of the original God of Wars, because that's what it was.
Okay.
This one is a lot more RPG style as well, of you level up using not exactly, you get enough experience points, and then you eventually level up. You level up your gear. And that gives you a cumulative average total, which is your level.
Okay.
So it averages your gear ranking and gives you a level based off that.
Okay.
It's the mean of your gear.
So you could lose all your gear at some point and just be like level one.
If you took all of your stuff off your level,
you'd just be like, I'm pretty strong, but I mean.
Your axe is permanently, and I won't say what else because spoilers. I don't want to spoil anything. I really don't want to spoil anything for people in this game.
But you would say definitely worth it. What if, so is it such a good game I have to go out and buy it right now, or is it a game where you can just say, maybe wait until it goes on sale?
No, I would say the former.
Okay.
The sooner you experience this game, the better.
Okay.
Wow. If you're
all right, I'm just gonna quit the show right now. Gotta go to Wall. You know, a game store.
If it is one of those games where, Santa Monica Studios development, they did an absolutely outstanding job of.
I don't remember a bad game that they've released. I mean, it's mostly been God of Wars, but they've done other games. I don't remember a bad game that they've released.
No, they really do take their time. With this one, it's also a very much more human story as well. I never liked Kratos as a character. I always thought he was a jerk. and he's everything he does is a hissy fit.
Yeah, he's just angry.
He's angry all the time. This one, I like him, and I even at times when I don't like him, I do understand him.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, he does something differently, but like, it's a much more granted game because he's. They did something very intelligent, which was they gave him a very contrasting character, which is his son.
Right, which his, can't do anything. And
oh no, your son's
is he
a
really
beast.
Good? Okay.
Oh, you're
okay.
He's.
It sounded like from the initial trailers, like you just have to like it's pretty much Ico. You just like pulling this person around.
You very rarely have to worry about if he's in trouble or not.
Okay, all right.
What he does for you in combat is he has his bow, and he could fire. I think it starts with three arrows, and these three arrows do stun damage. Okay. Your enemies have three things on there when you see them. They have their level, which is represented in a little number, but it's also represented right on their health bar. If it's green, it's under you. Yellow, it's neutral. It's the same as you. Purple, it's above you.
All right.
And then below that is a little bar. In that bar, when that bar fills up, they're stunned, meaning they could be grabbed and instantly killed.
Okay.
Your son shoots
kind of like a torpidity meter or something.
Right. And when your son shoots at them, he does stun damage based on your skills you put into
okay.
it.
Okay.
And while you're fighting and, you know, you're holding your shield, it gets crazy the amount of upgrades he can do and what he can help you with. He can throw you health packs. He can do more damage to enemies. But he can really give you breathing space when you really need it the most.
Okay. So he's a support utility character, but a very good support utility character
where I have been overwhelmed and go, oh, wait, my son has this ability that will help with this, this, and this.
Right.
And again, I don't want to spoil anything because every new thing with
I'll
this
have to,
was.
I'll have to take a look at it. I looked up Santa Monica's list. It's all the God of Wars, mm-hmm. PlayStation All-Stars, Battle Royale.
Oh, so there
was,
one.
It was kind of one. Warhawk and Starhawk.
I think those were good.
Starhawk,
not as much. Warhawk.
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Bound, which was good. Fat Princess Adventures, which was okay. Mm-hmm. Kinetica for the PlayStation 2. It was like a launch title, I think.
Yeah, this is, well, based on everything, I think this is probably their best game they've ever done.
It's looking very good, and I've been reading up on it, like reviews. And again, I don't really trust reviews sometimes. Mm-hmm. I trust reviews for like hardware. Like you look at a piece of hardware, and you're like, this is really difficult. Like a product,
right?
That's not a game because games are art, and I feel like art is subjective sometimes. And I mean, if it's broken game mechanics, that's an objective thing to complain about.
But right.
If it's like, oh, I didn't appreciate the story or I didn't appreciate this. And so, you know, we were complaining about Far Cry 5's ending.
That's
subjective, but I feel like there's patterns in games, you know, and you have a pattern and then at the end you just throw away all the pattern. You throw away the pattern. There's a positive feedback loop where you do something cool and you feel cool. So you do more cool stuff and you play more. That ended that loop and it was jarring. But all of the reviews that I've been reading up about God of War have been very, very like that's
you
so
hit
annoying.
On you hit on a very interesting thing. I like that with the positive feedback loop with Far Cry 5. Just the fact that it abruptly ended is very. You're right. It is a very jarring thing.
It's jarring.
Don't do that.
Many games do this. Especially you see it more with games that are like MMOs because there's the positive feedback loop is all that you can really go on. Because you have to keep players enticed and continuing their play and their subscription. Really, you want to give them money. But if even a game like Destiny 2, where you're banking on those initial sales and then the season pass sales. Every day, you know, if you don't have any players, you won't make the next season past expansion.
Right.
You'll just quit developing that game and everybody will quit or leave
you'll quit
or get
support.
Fired. Yeah, and you'll stop supporting it, a la Mass Effect Andromeda. They pulled support because it was getting too dodgy for them and the players were complaining too much and they just decided we're going to be out. I guess it's not really the same situation. But in Destiny 2's case, you know, there were significant misgivings about the direction they were taking the game, the type of things, the type of, options that you had, the type of game mechanics that you had at the end of Destiny 1 that you had, there and that you don't bring into Destiny 2. And at that point, once you hit in-game, it's sort of a rough patch. You don't know, you know, how are we going to keep these players involved and interested and keep them playing? And, you know, there's that positive feedback loop. I was playing Destiny all the time. And then I want to say It was something with Prometheus Lens or something where it was just OP. I would go and I'd play PvE, I'd play the Crucible, and somebody would mow me down with a laser immediately. And I'm kind of like, I don't, why? Why did that happen? I was doing everything right. You know, I'm pretty decent. And then I learned, like, oh, wait, there's this gun you can go buy for money, but everybody's got this money now because it's in-game. And this is super overpowered. And instead of gimping this and diminishing the power of this thing, they're just going to let everyone keep using it. So now it's just it's almost like a hide and seek game where as soon as I see you, I can shoot you with this laser. And as long as I train the laser on you for a quarter of a second, your health melts. And it seems like that felt good when I was doing it to other people, but I would have preferred to not do that to other people, but also have it so they couldn't do it to me.
That's not a balancing.
No, it's just saying now it's just chance. It's
two people on a bridge with a bazooka.
That's exactly. They both have bazookas, but I mean, who gets hit first?
This isn't a very interesting match.
No, and I feel like, you know, that's just one example of like sort of failing on that positive feedback loop where I did not have fun playing that. I went back to the story. I tried to kind of eke out an existence, tell the patch day rolled through. Even then, it was already sort of dead for me. And now, you know, Warmind's coming out very, very soon. I think May 7th or May 8th, Warmind comes out, the next expansion. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm going to play it because I bought the season pass, and I want to see the cinematic, and I want to go through it. And I played it whenever the thing with
Osiris.
I was like, Succubus, no.
Incubus.
Yeah, with Osiris Nirvana. Came out. Thank you. I played that and it was cool, but I mean, I blew through it almost immediately. And Warmind's just going to have to be a little bit more to offer to kind of reinstantiate that the positive feedback loop, I think. So I don't know if they're going to do it either. I mean, there's some stuff that it's doing.
So what'd you do last week?
Oh, man. So I played a little bit of Stardew Valley.
I did too, actually.
I played a little bit of Stardew Valley, enjoyed that. So I dismantled my office. I said in a previous show that I'm trying to list my house, and before I can list my house, I have to pretty much stop living in it primarily. I can sleep there, I can shower there, I can eat food there, but I kind of have to almost evacuate every other room. So the person I'm living with, she's moving out, and she's found a place, so she'll be moving out relatively soon. Mm-hmm. I have been consolidating to just my bedroom pretty much and the kitchen. And
New York apartment style.
It's kind of, yeah. And, you know, but that's just so I can take all the furniture out of the other rooms and leave them very barren. And so people can go in because they want to see, like, how big is this room? Like, I want to make it feel bigger. I don't want to put a bunch of cramped apartment stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
So I moved my workstation, like my battle station.
Yeah.
I moved that to my office at work. And I plugged it in so I can at least, like, access my files and do stuff like that. But I haven't really been playing any games on the PC. I've been playing Switch games, so I played a little bit more Odyssey. I tried to switch over to playing playing Legend of Zelda because I still haven't beaten it. I've played almost nothing in Legend of Zelda.
Oh, okay. I've beaten it to death,
and I didn't stick with it. And I think it's just sort of like I'm kind of overwhelmed with like combination of like stress and then just busy work. The end of the semester is a big deal. There's a lot of stuff going on, so
there is. I'm going to say something.
Oh man, go ahead.
That a lot of people may not appreciate in that Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I think there is a small flaw in it. And that is yeah, that's right.
My eyes got big like
I know.
Play big.
Everybody's going to say this, but it's something I didn't like. It was two things. One, everything in Legend of Zelda is a build up to defeat Ganon.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
Agreed. Even the dungeons you do aren't really even dungeons. They're a gun to shoot at, a gun you shoot at Ganon with. So everything's geared towards this final engagement. And I think that's where the flaw lies, in that once I did that and I'd done all the things and I had prepared myself as much as possible to do that, and I defeat Ganon, and then they come out with all this post-launch content.
Yeah.
My thought is, Master Sword, I'm like, well, I already defeated him.
Right.
This doesn't help me anymore.
Well, and that's sort of the positive feedback loop again. I am doing these things and I feel good and I saw I'm working towards a goal. Right. Once you achieve the goal, what's the point of playing the game? Is it just for fun? Is it to catch up, get all the seeds? I mean, what do you...
Exactly. And it's like, I'm like, why do I want this just to have it? And that became the issue of why it was with this post-launch content. I mess with it a little bit, but then I was like, I don't understand what could help me.
Yeah, I mean, what's the goal of this content? Right. The goal of the content doesn't. The introduction of the content doesn't change the goal of the game, and the exclusion of the content does not prohibit succession or succeeding of the goal of the game, mm-hmm. which is to defeat Ganon. So it's unnecessary. It's extra. Mm-hmm. I bought the Mega Collector's Edition or whatever, collect. Well, not the digital one, but I bought like the physical thing with the digital stuff on top.
Right,
of
it's
it.
Got the cool statue.
It was like the package. It was the whole package for the Switch, and I didn't think I made a bad purchase, but. Arguably, I probably could have waited because I bought the Switch thinking it was going to be the best thing in the world. And it is. A year later, the Switch has just killed a ton of records, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very successful. It's more successful than the Wii U, definitely.
Already beat out the Wii U, I believe.
I think it maybe is approaching or has usurped the Wii. I can't remember those numbers right off the top of my head.
I would like a little more content.
Yeah, so I want a virtual console. That's my big thing right now. I've been researching like mad, specifically the GPD XD Plus, which is a tiny little, it looks like a 3DS XL or whatever, but it's a full-blown Android, 7-inch Android system that can emulate Dreamcast and below.
Is that a Raspberry?
No. It's a system developed by, I can't remember who makes it. I think it's GBD rather. They make GPD Win and GPD Win 2, and that's a full-blown 7-inch Windows 10 laptop for about $700, and it's you could put it in your pocket.
Oh,
it
nice.
Is super small. It's got like 4 gigs of RAM and a hex core processor.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's really, really neat. It's got a joystick built into the controller, to the thing, and full-size keyboard. I've been looking at that because I really like Dreamcast games, but to be honest, it's really difficult to play Dreamcast games.
Yeah.
Even on my Dreamcast, it's a lot of setup. I've got the VGA mod, so I need a VGA monitor, which is fine. I have a TV that has VGA in, but it's the controllers are wired, and I hate to say that, but like that's annoying to me now. Like,
I wish Dreamcast would do a little. Sega would do a little bit more on the Dreamcast front of because we're all nostalgic and everything. Like that. I'm surprised they haven't done anything.
If they
could,
I know it's a licensing thing, but if they could release all of the Dreamcast games on like. I don't know, one system or something.
Yeah, just some like a cheap little $60 thing, and it's just like the best of like Nintendo did with Super Nintendo.
That would be fantastic. A Dreamcast Mini or whatever, a Micro Dreamcast would be excellent, but they're never going
to
do it.
Speaking of the Switch, this might be a good time to start our songs, and we segue into the news, and we'll go right into this. Speaking of the Switch, we'll go after we get back from our break. We'll talk about it.
Take two. This is the Will of One, the 2013 mix by the Proto Man and Torakai by Gabriel Robin. We'll catch you back after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
I did the wrong part this time.
Okay.
Last time I didn't want to do it. Now I'm too eager.
All right.
Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
At least you didn't screw that one up.
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks.
Back on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
Again, this is Dustin.
So this is funny because the audio was not being recorded on the computer. Wink, wink. Need better computer. So this is the second time we're running through this material, but that's okay. You've learned two things. One, we are persistent. Two, we record the show beforehand.
That's gamer quality there. Just going, all right, let's do it again.
All right, let's do it again. Whatever. Take two. So you wanted to segue in. I feel like we've rehearsed this now. You wanted to segue into a story about the Switch. What you got?
So the story on the Switch is that they have, as you know, we talked about this, I think, before, that there is a way to jailbreak this Switch. Jailbreak the Switch is basically...
Well, we didn't talk about it before.
We talked about it before. But the method of jailbreaking the Switch is such that they have found out now that Nintendo really can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's built in. So the Switch is an Android tablet, effectively.
Right.
With a little bit of extra hardware capabilities. You can plug in controllers. It's got some different outputs and some inputs. But at its heart, it is an Android tablet, like a 7 or 8 inch Android tablet. And
it has the Tegra.
The NVIDIA Tegra processor. I think it's called an APU. It's a combination CPU, so that's how it's thinking.
Consolidate space.
And then GPU, that's how it's doing its graphics.
Right.
And Tegra's great. Like, Tegra's a really good thing, but it is an NVIDIA chip. And allegedly, or apparently, what's happened is that chip is susceptible to sort of a boot ROM overflow.
It's a BIOS overload that they do. If you literally, I think you have to, like, you physically have to touch the microprocessor, short it, get it to BIOS load, and then you overwhelm the BIOS load with all this junk.
Right.
And then after that, it's like, it gives itself up to you. And it's like, all right, then here, you figure me out.
Right.
And I love how it defeats itself with that. And then after that, you could load Linux on it. You can load...
A bunch of stuff. You can load anything that runs on an Android online processor. Because, I mean,
Which runs everything.
The Switch isn't the only hardware device out there that runs a Tegra processor.
Right.
You know, there's tons of Android devices out there that run that way that are built that way. Because Tegra is good on power. It's good on a bunch of stuff.
It's a solid, reliable drive.
You were talking, though, about how you don't really think this is an important or that big of a deal.
Yeah,
Hold on. Let me real quick before I preempt that. So the issue, the sort of the big issue side of this is that there's nothing Nintendo can do to remedy this situation for all of the Switches out in the world right now.
Yes.
They are and will forever be just as able to be jailbroken this way as they are right now. There's no way for them to be repaired or swapped out. You have to physically swap out the chip or swap out the unit.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. But what Nintendo can do is moving forward, they can patch this in future models and mm-hmm. do that. So you think it's not that big of a deal?
I don't think it is because reading the steps to do this, I am not inclined. I am a computer savvy person.
Right.
I am holy Moses.
That's what I would say whenever I look at you on the street. I'm like, that looks like a computer savvy young man.
Yeah.
He knows
just say out of shape. It's fine.
You got a shape.
Yeah. Line's
a shape.
Rectangle.
Segment's a shape.
I do have good dancer's hips for some reason. Ooh. Don't know why. Big feminine hips. Why the uterus for easy birth. Game Grumps, sorry. But it's so invasive and dangerous.
You're committing surgery. Like, this is surgery on your device, and it'll...
Elective surgery.
Your warranty is done. And that's what we were talking about previously, was that for $300, $299 is what a Switch costs. Mm-hmm. And whenever you start screwing around with it this way, you run... It's guaranteed that you can brick your device. You can hurt yourself. You can short it out. You can cause a small fire. You might be able to even smell some smoke.
Yeah, you ruin the screen. It regulates its power using that processor.
What are you really buying? Like, you're buying
something you can run on your laptop.
There's three things. One, there's the I want free games, free Switch games.
Right.
We yanked the card reader out of a Switch. We figured out how to dump all the ROM data, and now we can push it back up or whatever, and that'll be there, you know. But you can go and buy the game for less, you know. You can go buy the game for $30 or $40 or I guess $50 if it's a really good game,
right?
Or people want to run some custom software, something that they could run on a computer.
And that's the thing. If you're that dedicated and you really want to do that's bad, and you want to play these games, you are already doing this on a computer.
That's the thing. You're already kind of tinkering around. I don't know.
And it's way easier and less dangerous.
Yes, absolutely. This is, if anything, this might be a good thing for Nintendo, because one, this voids the warranty. Two, people have already purchased these devices, and they already have, allegedly, they already have an ecosystem or an environment with Switch games in it now.
Right.
So they're less inclined to just give it up. People now, they're like, I'm throwing away my Wii. Like, it's two generations old. I don't need it anymore.
I still have mine because it runs GameCube games.
Oh, I still have mine, and I'll never get rid of it. And I got a Wave Bird and everything. But yeah. I mean, people are getting rid of those things. You're not going to get rid of the Wii. It's a current gen console. So people are going to go in and they're going to try to get it repaired. And they're going to say, I'm sorry, it looks like you've done something to this. It's been disassembled. We can't do anything.
Right.
But you know, here's a used one, you could buy that. Or here's a, so like that's good for GameStop, I guess. They sell used things. Nintendo doesn't really kick from that.
Right.
But maybe there's some reason for Nintendo to sell like another version of the Switch for a slightly cheaper price and people go and buy that. So you broke your console doing something you shouldn't have been doing in to begin with.
I see the, they're going to, I'm sure they're going to introduce a new model Switch.
Yeah. It'll just be a basic hardware revision. They're not going to do anything super crazy.
No, maybe some interface stuff that's a little better. But that's about it.
It's a little annoying if all you're trying to do is get free games on that. Then, I mean, there are plenty of other ways to get free games. You know, you could just run it on a computer. You can subscribe to like PlayStation Plus. That's not really free. This May actually is they're getting 6 games out for PlayStation 4 in May.
Yes, we're moving to Sony.
Yeah, we're moving to Sony. PlayStation 4 gets Beyond Two Souls and Rayman Legends in May's PlayStation Plus drop. We got Risen 3, Titan Lords, and Eat Them for PlayStation 3. I've never played either one of those.
Uh-huh.
And then King Oddball and Furman's for PlayStation Vita if you're interested in playing on
if
a dead
If you still
console.
Have a Vita somehow.
I do have a Vita, and I have it because I've been playing Super Nintendo games on it. So I did a soft mod on it. That's
wow.
That's the thing. Soft mod. No, it's so good. It's got all the right button layout. It's you can load it up on, via FTP or something, and or wireless. I've been playing like Illusions of Gaia and Star Fox, and it's just amazing.
I'm not saying... Look, Sony.
If you're listening.
Mr. Sony.
Mr.
If there's never been a clearer sign, and I think this, they're doing this, to give up on the handheld market when someone starts loading a Super Nintendo game onto your handheld.
If they would have just produced better games for the Vita and given it an iota, a micron of love.
Oh, yeah, like a
it's
virtual
such a
console.
Good, it's such a good... Well, no, I mean, they you can play PlayStation 1 games on it,
mm-hmm.
but the Vita itself has gotten almost no love. There's no decent quality games on it aside from, like, the 5 or 6 games that everyone already has. It just... I don't know. I love my Vita. It's, from a hardware perspective, I love the Vita. From a software perspective,
no.
It could be so much better. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope that someone finds the untapped power of it and we're just able to run. If I could run Dreamcast and below like GPD XD Plus, I'd be very happy. Mm-hmm. That'd be fantastic. So let's talk about slightly different news. So
Firewatch
the game.
The game that you
by Campo Santo.
We that you love very much.
I do love this game. It was such a like a love letter to just like easygoing walking simulators, and then they hit it in the face with like plot.
Yeah.
And I look back to and I say that like Gone Home or Tacoma doesn't have plot, but Gone Home, Tacoma, Firewatch, all very similar games where you play someone who is working through some really hard things in his life, and he becomes a Firewatch for a summer. In I think the Shoshone National Park in Wyoming, I think.
Yeah.
And his communication to his sort of supervisor is only via radio, and your supervisor is in another Firewatch kind of, and you can just see it like with binoculars. That's all you can see. So this is before, I think this is in the 80s. This is before like cell phones or anything really existed. And I don't know if Firewatches still exist now, but it seems like a cool thing to do. Like, I think I'd want to do it like as a family thing. Like,
yeah.
Maybe as like me and my wife, we go up and we become Firewatches for a summer and bring the dogs.
That feels like that is exactly what a couple would do.
I feel like it'd be cool because like playing this game, I don't know if Firewatch still exists, but anyway, things go south and things turn bad and there's like plot all of a sudden and there's like some conspiracy and you don't really know what's going on, but
that's not the story.
That's not the story.
The story is that it's the studio. What's the name of the studio?
Campo Santo.
Campo Santo. It's been acquired by
absorbed,
Valve.
Even, yeah.
Valve. The Megalodon of
right. It's big.
PC gaming.
That's a big thing. We were discussing like...
That's good or bad.
Why does Valve need to make games? Like publishers make games to make money,
mm-hmm.
but Valve doesn't need help making money.
Right.
They could stop making games permanently. It seems sort of like they have.
I haven't seen a Valve product
recent
in a
Infinity,
long time.
Recent past Infinity says that they have not made a game in a while. And, I mean, this is only good for me, for them, I think, for any games or gamers out there, because every time they acquire a studio that makes a good game, I don't think Gabe and company is going, hey, they made a really good game. Let's acquire that studio so no more good games could be made.
No, they want, and that's one of the things we were talking about, which is like, I don't know, they kind of drag their feet with their games so much that they're like, I don't know about this. We got this Steam thing. We're not really hurting for money. Would be my worry.
Name a game that they released since Steam's been out that has been a flop.
I'm trying to think of...
I mean, Half-Life didn't have Steam, but then eventually did get it. Half-Life 1 and all of the 4...
I'm trying to think of a game that came out after Steam.
Half-Life 2 was after Steam. Left 4 Dead was after Steam. Team Fortress 2
Half-Life
was after
2
Steam.
Was after Steam? Yeah. Half-Life 2 was... Really?
Yeah. They Half-Life 2 was after Steam.
Really?
Yeah. Steam? It was the early version of Steam.
Okay. Okay,
it was the green
okay.
Steam. I remember the green screen okay, team Steam. Okay. In fact, I found my Half-Life 2 discs the other day, and it's like, here's how to install it with Steam. I'm like, ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
But then Half-Life 1 was kind of brought into Steam. But I mean, every game that they have made, Valve proper has made, or even Gearbox has made, has been very, 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 very successful. It has been a breakaway success, including free-to-plays like, I would say, you know, Dota. I guess Dota sort of, Dota 2, that's a Valve game.
Yeah.
And then I think there was another one that they made that was like a Dota 2, a free-to-play type thing.
I think we'll see a game come out of the studio. I would like to see games.
I would love to see games. We might see two games come out from the Campo Santo team. I mean, that's how we got Portal. We got Portal from Narbonacular Drop. It was a college project that they then bought the team effectively, and everybody was like, hey, let's go to Valve and let's make Portal. And now Portal's amazing. I think that the Portal games are fantastic.
What has happened to that company, and what has happened to
all those people?
All those people. What are they doing?
They're probably
now?
Still there. They might be working on the next Portal. They might be working on the next thing. I mean, they definitely worked on like the Vive. Mm-hmm. The HTC Vive, they've been dealing with that. So, I mean...
It seems product-driven now.
It definitely seems product and marketplace-driven, but I don't know that that means that it's not game-driven as well. It's just we're seeing a lot more products come out and a lot more marketplace than we're seeing games, because maybe that's what people want right now. There's so many developers out there, right. Publishers, publishing good games.
The thing that worries me is that Valve feels like more of a corporate entity than a gaming developer. In the near, would you say that's
yeah,
fair?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's not unfair. It's one of those things where
paraphernalia for the controller is the last thing I think Steam tried to sell me.
Yeah,
as Steam Link, Steam controller, HTC Vive.
Look at something like Valve's not necessarily a publisher, as more of a marketplace arbiter. What's it called in a library when you have it starts with a C?
Cataloger.
No, it's similar though. It's like
Curator.
I was like, not a concierge, but a curator, and I guess a concierge in a way, where it seems like, look at all these games that we put on our platform. We have streamlined the install, the download, the deployment, all that process, all the updates come through here.
Great.
We are the curator of all of those things. So is it important that we make games? Yes. Is it important that we stop doing this to make games? No.
That's a digital business. That's not a game developer.
Oh, yeah. They need to get out of the Steam machine and the Steam Link and the Steam controller. That needs to go. I actually found my Steam controller, and I've never used it, but I couldn't find the heart to throw it away.
Don't use touchpad for
last
something I need
bit
precision
of,
on.
Yeah, exactly. Like movement.
Yeah.
Last bit of news, Destiny 2's next expansion, Warmind, for DLC Warmind, comes out May 8th. They are developing a few different extra things for it. For one, people have been asking for this a while, the emote wheel is an interesting thing. The big thing that they're throwing out there is Escalation Protocol, which is like a horde mode.
Yeah.
Effectively where it's a public event on Mars, and there's a bunch of enemies. You have to shoot them, gun them down. Bosses rotate in and rotate out, and then there's different tasks like crystal destroying and whatever.
So shoot the thing.
It seems like a bunch of shoot the things, but it seems like more like a strike as a public event. So anyone can join in. I think the more people that join in, the higher level it is, which is kind of cool. It's kind of like a Borderlands-y type of thing. So, and that's sort of where it has to go in this way, because it's trying to win back people. It's trying to kind of get that positive feedback loop back. Is it going to?
I don't know.
We're out of time. This happens every week.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. And we are going to leave you with one song.
Okay.
Before we do that, we're going to tell you a few things. One, if you're a new listener, thanks for listening. If you stumbled upon this, good night on stumbling. That's you stumbled around.
Your radio
stumbled. You stumbled upon it. We have a website, exppoints.com. Always double tap the P. exppoints.com/social is where you can find Facebook and Twitter. Please like and subscribe, all those things. If you are new and you want to be kept up to date on all the stuff we do, we don't update often, but when we do, oh boy, you better watch out. You better watch it.
Pray to whatever god
we are going to leave you with one song, Power of Love by I Fight Dragons, and we will catch you guys next Wednesday night from 9 to 10. My name is Matt.
I'm Dustin,
and this has been the Experience Points radio show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.